Live from Gilbert, Arizona, for the grand opening of the new Pella Windows and Doors showroom experience, it's Rosie on the House.
A little different of an intro today because we are live. We usually do about 12 remotes a year. It's been, this is our second one and two. It's been a crazy, but we're time, but we're glad to be back out. We are in Gilbert.
I'm out of practice.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were here to set up all this equipment. I'm not sure I would have remembered which plug went where. Very good job. Great job.
109 South McQueen Road, Suite 100. You can't miss it. There's big Pella logos on the building. You'll see the Rosie Transit. You'll see the big Pella semi. You'll see pop-up tents. We have the 2022 home maintenance calendar. We just got them off print this week. We have a bunch of those here. We've got t-shirts for the first 50 people that show up, a brand new Rosie on the House t-shirt. And we have the 8 o'clock hour.
It's the outdoor hour. With and the Urban Farm, we're talking seeds today.
For Saturday.
This place is amazing.
Makes you want to buy windows, doesn't it?
It does. These guys are serious about windows.
And there's...
You haven't even seen the back. You ought to see the back.
Yeah, the displays, and we'll have Adam Homer from Pella on with us a little bit later, talking more about the details of the showroom and all the windows and options you can see here. It's, this is the reason, Greg, you never hear another window company endorsed by Rosie on the House. You cannot get a better quality for window on the market. And they've got a lot of different options. It always used to be a wood frame. Aluminum clad was their original, but they've got fiberglass now, the impervious series. It's really great for the desert Southwest.
Made for the Sun Belt. Absolutely made for the best window for the money for the Sun Belt, in my opinion.
Wow. That's a huge endorsement.
Yeah. It should put every other aluminum and vinyl window company out of business. It really should.
Wow.
And maybe one day it will. So come down and
jump on board.
And you got the Pella crew over here cheering.
They've done a wonderful job. They've got coffee and breakfast snacks out for us. They're giving away a Traeger grill. So come on by today at Pella Window and Doors. We'll be broadcasting the entire program here. The party here goes till 3. So,
and it's not that little hot dog cooking Traeger. It's like the whole hog size Traeger. I mean, they got the big one.
the family size.
It is the family size for sure. So they'll be giving that away to those one lucky person that attends this morning.
Wonderful.
So come show on up down. Live.
And if you're coming across the 60 and you're looking for McQueen, it doesn't exist. It's Mesa Drive on the 60. Turn south. It very quickly turns into McQueen. If you're on the south 202, McQueen does go all the way through to the south side.
I took Elliot
across from
the 101.
101.
Yeah, that made it really easy.
Nice. So lots of ways to get here. Come on out. It does not get more live than this. And Greg, we're talking seeds today.
Yeah, we are talking seeds.
It's time to stick them in the ground. Seeds? Add water.
See what comes up. That's what you said. Add water and voila, you got plants. Well, unfortunately in Arizona.
I know enough about seeds that I wouldn't have fallen like Robert Duvall did and planted all corn when I thought I had corn and beets and radishes and carrots. I wouldn't have fallen for the only cord seed like secondhand lions.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, seeds. And why save them? I guess that's really the big question. And there'll be lots more about this story as we process through the next hour. But about 10 years ago, I looked around to see where we could actually get seeds. If we needed to grow food, if there was something that happened and we needed to grow food, and I discovered that a few nurseries and a few big box stores had seeds on season, and that was about it. And that's a problem if you want to grow food locally. And so that sent me down a rabbit hole of seed amazement that we're going to be talking about today. But saving seeds is actually
And you've been doing the urban farm. You started, it's, you know, a couple decades. I don't know if you want to admit to it.
Well, I am 60. I am 60 these days, and
congrats.
I am slowing down.
Congratulations.
I planted my first garden here in Phoenix in 1974 at the Weldon House, 2827 East Weldon. And, you know, through my childhood, I grew food there, and I grew fruit trees. And then, you know, I got kicked out of the house, and 1989 rolled around, and I bought a property. And the property I bought was the urban farm. Which is where I've lived since, and it's a third of an acre near 16th Street and Glendale Avenue, right near your studios. And I've practiced and played and experimented and grown things there for the past, what now, 32 years?
And in the course of that time, when did you hit your seed epiphany?
Seed epiphany came in 2011.
Okay. So we're 10-year mark here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I signed up and went for a week-long seed-saving course in Tucson, given by Bill McDorman and Bell Starr. And, you know, just sitting in that week's worth of education, it was like, you know, it's like, wow. There is so much to seeds that people just don't know.
Paint a picture of the urban farm.
Okay.
I mean, just tell people what you do on a third of an acre.
Third of a, yeah.
Yeah, just paint a picture for what that is.
Okay.
And what is a third of an acre capable of producing? Because I don't think maybe anybody that hasn't listened a long time really comprehends what you got going on that one lot.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And so it's 80 feet wide.
What do you call it, redundant purposes?
Regenerative.
Regenerative, okay.
Regenerative. Redundant, that's redundancies, building and okay. Along the same lines, yeah. So the urban farm is my home. I've been there for 32 years. The property itself is 80 feet wide, 160 feet deep. If you drove by it, you wouldn't know it was there. You wouldn't know what it was. Right along the street, I have a hedgerow of 14 navel oranges. Why 14 navel oranges? Because I love navel oranges. And that gives me a privacy hedge. So people can't see onto the property. And then in the front yard, I have growing beds, probably 3,000 square feet of growing beds for vegetables. I have about 40 fruit trees in the front yard. And the front yard, again, is only 80 feet wide and about 35 feet deep.
Are y'all listening? Are y'all listening? Go ahead.
In the backyard... the backyard is, again, 80 feet, probably 50 feet deep in the backyard. And I have chickens. I have another 30 or so fruit trees. And a lot of things from the wild show up back there. So in the past 5 years. Now, remember, I'm at 16th Street and Bethany Home. And in the past 5 years, we have seen raccoons on our back patio.
Oh, yeah.
Bobcats on our back patio. Just yesterday, we had a chicken hawk scoping out our chickens. That got the chickens dander up. Yeah. And one of the really cool things that I've done there in 30 years is I've created something called an old growth food forest. And really what that means is that I grow things there and let them go to seed. This is where today's conversation comes in. I just let things go to seed. Rather than pulling them all out, rather than pulling all the carrots out, I let some of them go to seed, and they make seeds that just naturally spread in my landscape so that next year I'll have carrots. And I've got carrots and parsley and oregano and basil and mint and nasturtiums and cowpeas and fennel, and there's 10 or 20 celery, all the lettuce. These are all things that just come up year after year after year without me doing anything except watering.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Now, have you ever just said, all right, I'm going to see how long, you know, I can just last without having to buy anything?
Any groceries.
Groceries.
wouldn't that be nice? I get that question a lot. People ask me, well, how much of your food do you get from your property? And on a year-over-year basis, probably 30%. And they want to know what I do with all the extra. Well, given the way that the urban farm is designed, it's this food forest, we always have something to eat in the yard. So we just go out and forage. It's not like big old long rows of corn or beans or like that. But there are some snow peas that'll come up this winter. We have cow peas that are growing right now. So it's more of a forage space than it is a what you would think of as a traditional farm where we're getting 1,000 pounds of any one thing, except when it comes to the fruit trees. And I think we had off of one apple tree, we had 300 pounds of apples this year. And peaches, we get, a couple hundred pounds of peaches every year. So that's when I start sharing with the neighbors. That's kind of what it looks like.
And fruit trees, I love fruit trees, but we won't get sidetracked today because we are talking about seeds. We do have, was it last month or is it?
Yeah, it was last month.
Last month we spent the whole hour talking
about fruit trees.
If you want to hear that bunny trail, you can find it in our podcast at rosieonthehouse.com/radio. And that would have been the fourth Saturday in August. But the seeds, it's the first thing you have here in your talking points, cheap.
Yes. Yeah. Seeds, seeds are basically free. And the expensive part of seeds is when they package them and ship them and put them on a rack. But when they grow, literally, I have a 5-gallon bucket of carrot seeds that I've saved over the past couple of years just because they're that prolific.
And carrot seeds are tiny.
And carrot seeds are tiny. There's probably...
They're a pain in the neck to plant.
Yeah. There's probably... Well, so here's a story for you. About 5 years ago, I hired this young man to come in, and he says, yeah, I know how to plant seeds, no problem. I gave him a 4-ounce bag of seeds. Now, in a 4-ounce bag of seeds, there's probably 50,000 carrot seeds. He planted them all in the yard. So I got, tens of thousands of carrot seeds from that. But the free part, the cheap part is, just letting these things go to seed. And there's a really important piece to this. And the important piece to this is that you want to use something called an open pollinated or an heirloom seed. These are seeds that basically breed true. They're not hybrids. And so I use heirloom and open pollinated seeds for everything and just let things go to seed. And that's just what has them magically show up year after year after year.
And we'll be continuing our conversation with Farmer Greg here in the Outdoor Living Hour of Rosie on the House, broadcasting live from the Pella Showroom in Gilbert, Arizona on McQueen.